loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt.
I will be done this morning, Father, because you know all about what's going on with every person who is listening and with those who we carry in our hearts right now, Father. We just come and we ask for you to do what you did on the sea, Jesus. Declare peace be still for those who need it. And we come thanking you to sit at your table and feast once again from your word, to learn what's true and to speak truth. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning to my blog talk and Running for Christ family. It's Saturday. It's been a morning already, but we are going to school because we're going to not just learn information about this Jesus that we profess, but we're going to know why we believe. We're going to strengthen our faith through understanding. So I say good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yeah. I hope you have your sheets ready because we're continuing in being authentic Christians. And we're talking about truth. We learned that authentic The word means to conform to an original, and so to reproduce essential features. So in other words, and in conforming means to have the same form as another. So we know according to our verse that we are being conformed into the original, the perfect human, Jesus, the one who lived out God's role for humanity the way God intended it from the beginning. And that too, we need to learn how to speak the truth about. We need to be factual and firm in dealing in reality and reliability, and understanding that he is faithful. So last week in our sheet, we were learning about the first step that in these three steps that I'm using for authentic Christianity is to tell the truth about Jesus and what the early church says about Jesus. And we started out first with the promise that Jesus made that was fulfilled in the book of Acts, which was what? What did Jesus promise in the book of that we see come in the book of Acts? Or who did Jesus promise?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Yes. Because he told them that they would need to be his what? His witnesses. And in order to be a true witness, you need power to be a true witness. And also to be a true witness, you have to have seen or experienced something in order to be a good witness. All right, and we started out in Acts 2 where Peter preached his first message that we covered last week. And then we found ourselves at the beautiful gate where the beggar was asking Peter and John, I believe it is.
Yes, John.
For alms. He was begging for money. But what did Peter give him?
He healed him.
Yeah.
He healed him. Because we've talked about it. Money can meet a need, but what was his real need?
He needed to be able to earn a living. He needs to know the truth about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
So often. And so ultimately, that F word that we've been using a lot, for the man to flourish, and his flourishing is essential, and we're going to find out when I teach you about what true shalom is, that flourishing is part of it, but it requires wholeness in order for us to flourish. So this man needed to be made whole before he could flourish.
Okay, so wholeness.
Wholeness, yeah, that's part of it too as well. But flourishing is what God intended from the beginning. All right, and we also found that salvation is found in who?
Jesus.
No one other than Jesus.
No one other than Jesus. And notice that salvation is again, it's about it restored the man's ability to walk and to function in society. It also brought about peace with God, because while we were enemies with God, Christ died for us, and ultimately it'll lead to him being able to, instead of being what we would call a burden on society, to become a productive member of society. So he told them the truth about Jesus. So today we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 5. And I need somebody to read for us Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. And then we're going to go and drop down and read verses 41 and 42. So Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 32.
Okay. All right, then. Acts chapter 5, you said what number?
17 through 32.
Okay. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Go to who? Go to what number?
Verse 32.
Okay. So at the daybreak, the apostles entered the temple, as they were told, and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and the officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported. The jail was securely locked with the guards standing outside, but when we opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple, teaching the people. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel will repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. Amen.
Drop down and read verses 41 and 42.
Yes. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the chosen one.
Right. Thank you very much, brother.
Yes.
Okay. So what did the angel, according to question 7, the angel of the Lord instruct the apostles to do?
To emphasize what they had witnessed?
Go stand in the temple courts.
Oh, my bad.
And do what?
And tell the people all about this new life.
So now they have been arrested, put in jail. Angel comes, gets them out. But did he get them out and tell them, okay, go and hide?
Oh, no.
No.
He told them to do what?
Do their witnessing.
Be a witness. Mm-hmm. To what?
To what they've seen and what they knew to be true.
This new life.
And the new life found in who?
Jesus
Christ. Jesus. So you see down in verse 28 even, it says, we gave you strict orders not to do what?
Teach in his name.
But you filled Jerusalem with teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Because part of the truth is, Jesus came, but you all had him put to death. So it's not absolving them of their guilt. What mm-hmm. what we tend to do when we tell half truths, you know, we'll say, you know, Jesus is Lord, but we'll leave out the fact that, you know, but we're sinners. Mm. Because if you don't understand the problem, the necessity, then the remedy is hollow. So he's pointing out, they pointed out the truth about Jesus and the whole truth. Also the fact that Jesus was crucified. Am I correct?
Okay. Yes.
So then he died. But this same Jesus is now resurrected. So they didn't leave out the pieces of the puzzle to make the Sanhedrin feel better. But I was astounded mm-hmm. when here that angel, they've been arrested for preaching about Jesus, and the angel tells them to go back and keep preaching about Jesus. All right.
Amen.
According to question 8, what was Peter's reply to the Sanhedrin when they told him to stop doing this?
That they can, Peter... We must obey God rather than any human authority.
All right. Do you know how important that is in that culture?
Mm.
Okay.
And especially because when we were going through earlier in the book, we went through the book of Mark, and I was studying a book at the time that talked about how political the gospel was, how mm-hmm. And we talked about how God came and he brought his kingdom. Jesus brought mm-hmm. the kingdom because man had instituted what? E word.
Empire.
Where kingdom is about flourishing and wholeness and salvation. Empire is about violence and destruction and oppression. You know, so whenever there are two kings going against each other, there's a problem.
Okay.
So we have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness literally going against each other, but in the forms of human governments even. And so here mm-hmm. Peter and John, this is their Jewish religious government as well as the Roman government, because according to Rome, who is Lord?
Caesar.
Caesar's Lord. And here Peter and John are preaching about who?
Jesus.
And saying that Jesus is what?
Lord.
He is the King.
The Messiah.
It says right there at the end of verse 42. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming what?
Oh, the Messiah. Okay.
Yep. The good news about the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the new king, the true king.
Right,
that
right.
was their message. I hope you're understanding that the good news is bigger than just our sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. And it's only because of Jesus, but that's not the only part of it. It's bigger than that. Remember that man... He remember in the story where the four friends let down their friend in front of Jesus that was lame?
Yes.
Well, look at my man with the mat.
Yes. Okay. And what did Jesus say to that man when he was let the mat down in front of him?
Told him to stand forgiven and told him to get up.
Stop right there. Before, first thing he said was what? Your what?
Your sins were forgiven.
Your sins are forgiven. And then he tells him, but the people who were around thinking to themselves, how can he forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. He said, right. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, get up and walk. So he didn't do one and didn't do the other. He did both. Because the same thing for that man. The kingdom doesn't just set you free from one without empowering you in the other.
Okay.
say that again. The kingdom doesn't just set you free from one without empowering you with the other. So it's a both and kingdom. It's the best. So the good news is not just sins are forgiven, but life can begin. Wholeness, flourishing can come about. All right. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. And somebody read verses 8 through 15, and we're going to talk about this guy named Stephen.
Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene in Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Amen.
Okay. So here we are, Stephen. Why was Stephen brought before the Sanhedrin?
Because they were jealous of him.
Definitely that.
Because
he
never. Oh, they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke.
Yep, that was it.
I need you all to see that. Because Stephen was just a man. But when he was challenged by religious leaders about his testimony about Jesus, they couldn't compete. So yeah, that made him jealous and angry. But why couldn't they compete?
Because Stephen had the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of the Lord was within him.
Wow, what can we take from that? So we understand that when the Spirit, this is why Jesus told them, don't leave until the Spirit has come upon you, because you will be my witnesses. You need power. You need God with you in order to deal with what you're going to come against. And in order to be my witnesses. And here Stephen is a prime example of a witness who the Spirit empowered. We just saw Peter and John do the same thing and told basically the leading rulers to their face, you know what, we going to obey God. It's better that we obey God than obey you. After they had been imprisoned and threatened, and then they even whipped them afterwards and flogged them, but they told them, we'd rather be beat and obey God than set free and obey you. And so here Stephen is faced with the same situation. All right. Now, let's get into Stephen's speech. Yes, all of it. Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 53. Someone read, please.
The high priest. Go ahead. Hello?
I think it was just you. It was just feedback. It was just you.
Oh, that's long. Okay. The high priest asked Stephen, "Are these accusations true?" This is why this was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. But God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. God did promise, however, that eventually the whole land would belong to Abraham and his descendants, even though he had no children yet. God also told him that his descendants would live in a foreign land and they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, God said, and in the end they will come out and worship me here in this place. God also told Abraham the covenant of circumcision at the time. So when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day, and the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob, and when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. These patriarchs were jealous, their brother Joseph, and so they sold him to be a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles, and God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. But a famine came upon Egypt and Canaan. There was great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and were buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's son in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But when a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph, this king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day he visited them again. He saw two men fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you a ruler and judge over us, he said. Are you going to kill us as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There, his two sons were born. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in a flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and he went to take a closer look. The voice of the Lord called out to him, I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard the groans, and I have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt. So God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Though the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses himself told the people of Israel, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Moses was with our ancestors, the assembly of God's people in the wilderness, when the angel spoke to him at Mount Sinai. And there Moses received life-giving words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us some gods who can lead us, for we don't know what has become of this Moses who brought us out of Egypt. So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed it and celebrated over the thing they had made. Then God turned away from them and abandoned them to serve the stars of heaven as their gods. In the book of the prophets, it is written, was it to me you are bringing sacrifices and offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness of Israel? No, you carried your pagan gods, the shrine of Molech, the star of your god Rephan, and the images you made to worship them. So I will send you into exile as far away as Babylon. Our ancestor carried the tabernacle with them through the wilderness. It was constructed according to the plan God had shown to Moses. Years later, when Joshua led our ancestors in the battle against the nations that God drove out of this land, the tabernacle was into their new territory and stayed with them until the time of King David. David found favor with God, asking for the privilege of building a permanent temple for God, for the God of Jacob, but it was Solomon who actually built it. However, the Most High doesn't live in temples made by human hands. As the prayer says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Asked the Lord. Could you build me such a resting place? Didn't my hands make both heaven and earth? You stubborn people. You are heathen at the heart and deaf to the truth. Maybe you forever resist the Holy Spirit. That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet of your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Enjoy this.
Yeah.
All right. So now, what was Stephen's message? What did he speak about?
Well,
a lot.
About God and the ancestors that God made the promises too.
Okay, so he talked about their ancestors. Let me kind of bring it a little bit. Who is the Sanhedrin? Because this is who he's standing before. What are they?
The high priest?
Okay, the council, it's part of it.
Mm-hmm. They're the teachers so the of the law.
Teachers of the law. It's the governing body. So it's basically like the Jewish government without, you know, so they're religious as well as spiritual. So these are the people, and like you said, the teachers of the law. So these are the people who should know the law but also know the history of their nation, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what did Stephen just go over?
He summarized the history of their nation.
Yes. And he summarized the history of their nation, and he said that the history was pointing to who?
The coming Messiah.
The coming Messiah, to Jesus, the one who they
murdered.
Killed.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I wonder why you're not answering, but I had it on hold. That's why I'm like, I'm saying these answers. Okay.
So he did it the same thing like Peter and John. He didn't hold back. He told the whole, he went over the whole history of Israel, that this where this was pointing to. But he pointed out how the leaders failed. There was failure amongst the people. There was failure and ultimately the execution of the one who, they executed the ones who prophesied about the righteous one coming, and they even executed the Christ. So he told the truth.
Yeah, they rejected God and the law and the coming and the Messiah and their Messiah.
They rejected the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
So what got Stephen stoned? Telling folks
the truth.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
But to show, and I'm glad she went over reading because I only put those 53. But to show, I mean, it's okay, to show the validation, he even told the truth. He was authentic.
Uh-huh.
And how do we know he was authentic? What happened?
Because the Sanhedrin was angry, furious with him.
Okay.
Is it when he came out real bright like an angel?
Think about towards the end of the passage. What happened to Stephen at the end?
They killed him. They stoned him.
But while they were stoning him, did he see?
Oh, he saw the Lord. He saw the heavens open up. He told them, look, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. No?
So, Stephen, to show that he was a witness, he got to tell them what he saw.
Oh,
he was an authentic witness. He spoke the truth. Had he been standing up there just railing on them, lying, making up stuff, trying to get out of his case like people do, you know, trying to deflect and defame and trash everybody, he would have just died like anybody else. But he just not only said that he saw heaven open up and the glory of God, he saw Jesus doing what?
Sitting at the right hand.
Standing at the right hand.
He's standing at the right hand.
Oh, standing.
Mm-hmm. He's standing at the right hand. So first of all, the fact that he sees Jesus, the resurrected one, he testifies to that. I see the one you killed, I see him. I'm a witness to that. I'm not telling you what I saw. I'm telling you what I've seen. And he's standing. And I like to believe he was standing because Stephen was authentic. Remember, part of telling the truth is being reliable. He was an authentic witness. And then, of course, it says with that, he went to sleep. What a gift. What a gift. All right. We got a lot out of that. Thank you, just again, for reading that. Let's keep going. We got another one we can cover today. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. and then verses 26 through 40. So Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8.
Okay. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous sign he did, the signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city.
Okay, so who are we reading about now?
The believers.
Philip. Which believer? Specifically Philip. Where is Philip?
Yeah. Okay. In Samaria.
In Samaria.
Let's go back. What's special about this, where Philip is? Go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And what are the words of Jesus when they receive power?
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Okay, so let's look back. Peter, John, they were at the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where was that at? Where's the temple at?
In Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Yeah. All right. And then they went around the region. You know, they're from this place, this area. The region of Judea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because they're from that area. And now where is Philip?
In Samaria.
In Samaria. And Jesus said, you will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem.
And to the
Judea. And Samaria. And now we find one witness in Samaria. And he's doing what?
Witnessing.
As instructed.
he's witnessing, but what else is he doing? What's accompanying his witness? Look at verse 6 of chapter 8.
Yeah. He performed signs.
Miraculous signs he did.
And what else happened in verse 7?
Impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed.
Oh, he was healed.
Who does that sound like?
Jesus.
What were Peter and John able to do for that man?
Heal him.
So
remember when Peter and John went before the governing body, and they were like, how are these men so learned? How come they know this deep stuff about the scripture? And they could only determine that they had been with who?
Jesus.
So we got Philip now. So let's get more with Philip. Go to verses 26 through 40.
Okay. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning seated in his carriage. And he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, what was the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. You know, that I never read that part. I mean, I read it. I just said double pen on the line, verse 40. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. I never read that until today. I read it, but I never paid no attention until today. Because when he got patched up, I always thought he was dead. I always thought he was dead when he got patched up.
Again, who does that sound like?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we have Philip speaking to this eunuch. Where's this eunuch from?
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Okay. So it's not map-wise an Ethiopia that we see today. Ethiopia encompassed a lot of eastern and parts of northern Africa at that time. So it was a lot larger landmass, if you would. So he is, and the name is Kandake. It is a title. So that's good. I'm glad you that's so.
You say that's a title?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not his title. It's the title of the Queen of Ethiopia, is a Kandake. Let's see. Question. So where did Philip go to give to this with this message?
He
initially was in Samaria, and then they sent him south. Then he went to Jerusalem, back from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is in.
Oh yeah. Right.
So he's moving. Not if you think about it, these places are not that far apart. So, and he meets this guy who's on his way back to Ethiopia. That's where he's sent to. What is he reading?
From the book of Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah. In what part can you tell from verses 32? What part? What chapter, as we would call it, that he's reading?
53?
Isaiah 53.
He's prophesying about the coming Messiah and what would happen to him.
In Isaiah 53, Isaiah is telling us about the suffering servant, prophesying about the coming Messiah. And so this is what he's reading, and Philip explains it to him. He opens the scripture to him, which is, again, what witnesses should be able to do. If you know what the scripture says, you should be able to explain it to somebody else. This is why we need to get beyond just telling them what. We can tell them, oh, that's Isaiah 53. Well, what is Isaiah 53 about? Why is it important? Yeah, I did ask a question.
Oh,
why is it important? Because we were foretold what would happen before it happened, so that we know that it was the hand of God.
So it's a prophetic book, and they're telling that the prophecy came true, and who fulfilled the prophecy?
Jesus.
So he preaches them about Jesus. And so look at verse 35, then Philip began and with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
Jesus.
And he was using Isaiah 53, because remember, their Bible didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mm-hmm. Acts, Romans, so forth. They only had the Old Testament, the Tanakh.
Mm-hmm.
So in explaining this to him, the man was like, basically, I believe that. Why can't I be baptized? Why can't I identify with this Jesus? And so he baptized him. And when he baptized him, we noticed, like you said, Philip went north.
Mm-hmm.
But where did the Ethiopian eunuch go?
Back home.
He went back home.
Back to Ethiopia.
Okay, so Ethiopia is in, or on what continent?
Africa.
Yeah.
So he heard the good news. He received the good news. And he took the good news to
the ends of the earth.
Oh,
Africa.
It's moving.
Okay.
The words of Jesus are moving. You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, which Samaria is the region. Who lives in Samaria?
Gentiles.
The Samaritans.
Yeah. Half and half. The Samaritans. They're half Jewish, half Gentile. And they already had heard some of the good news in one of the towns we know because of a certain woman. But now, because they got to see Jesus and meet Jesus, but now on the other side of the resurrection, it's even greater news because now all the work has been finished and that the door, so we're seeing the gospel spread from Jews to who?
To Gentiles.
To Gentiles. And that's very important because where we're going next, we're going to Acts chapter 10 next.
Okay.
So Philip, though, his message, he was in Samaria. He went to meet this man on the road going to away from Jerusalem. And his message was that that Isaiah 53 was about Jesus.
Yes.
To answer question 11 for those who are trying to answer a question. Okay. So now we're going to Acts chapter 10, where we meet this guy named Cornelius. Now, I don't know if I want to start. I don't, because we only got 7 minutes left. And I would really like us to spend time in all of Acts chapter 10 so we can go through it. But let's try to go back to your first page of your sheet. Let's try to land this plane a little bit safer today, and then we'll pick up next week in chapter 10. All right. Because remember, it's telling the truth about Jesus. In that first message in Acts chapter 2, you can turn there, and on the front of your sheet, what message did Peter preach? I gave you 8 things that came out of that message. What did he say first in letter A?
Okay.
That Jesus ascended from above?
Before that.
Oh.
The Holy Spirit has come upon them as Joel prophesied?
Yes. So the promised Holy Spirit had come. That was first. Then what did he say next in verse 22?
Jesus was accredited by God.
Okay. Because he came from where?
From above.
Cole said it.
From above.
That's important because there are religions that teach that Jesus is just a man, just like we are. He was from the earth, and that he elevated to above.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that he came down to earth and took on human flesh. He did not take on human flesh and elevate to deity. That's what they believe Caesar Augustus and the Greek gods and the Roman gods, that's what they believed about them. But here saying the truth about Jesus, he came from above, not from below. Okay?
Right.
Then he was what?
Jesus was executed as planned?
Yes. that it was part of the plan all along that he would die. So we can't leave that out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else was, what happened next?
He was raised
Jesus.
From the dead.
Yes. And there were witnesses.
Why was he? And there were witnesses to it. Yep. People saw it. They saw him. Mm-hmm. Over 500 people saw him at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know you can get four people and they don't see the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As we, that's why they have court cases and many witnesses trying to get eyewitnesses. And you need at least, according to Scripture, how many witnesses do you need to establish a matter?
True.
At least two.
At least two. And so when you got over 500, I think you have eyewitnesses.
Amen.
All right. What else happened? After Jesus was resurrected, what was he?
He ascended to the right hand of God.
To the right hand of God.
All right. And who saw him there?
Stephen did.
Yeah. We just read it. Stephen saw him.
Yes.
Standing at the right hand of the Father. So we know from a witness, he saw him. All right. And then we also know from Scripture, Daniel, when we read Daniel 7, that Daniel had a vision of him
mm-hmm.
in his exaltation. All right. What next? What came next? What did he say next about Jesus?
The Messiah has come, and Jesus is both Lord and Messiah.
Yes. And notice, Messiah, Christ, anointed one. Same words, but both
mm-hmm.
Lord, meaning he's God, and
mm-hmm.
he is the Messiah.
Yes.
All right? And then next?
Repent. Change the way you
okay.
think. Believe the
about
truth
who?
About Jesus and be saved.
Amen.
Believe the truth about Jesus and be saved. You know, when we talk to people about Jesus, sometimes we're not just clear about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know who he is in order to be clear about who he is. He
mm-hmm.
didn't just come to say he's God, you know, and we need to be clear about it till we understand it. And that's what we're trying to do is get understanding about. We've gone through that. All right. And lastly, my time is running out. What should they do after they be saved? Mm-hmm.
Turn to Christ and receive the Holy Spirit.
Receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so a lot of people don't realize, you know, that they, when you turn to Christ, when you truly believe, you are now empowered. You have the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. And he's a down payment. He's a sign that you are truly a believer.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've seen the witness of these three people just so far. We'll pick up next week. I thank you all again, as always. Asking special prayers. Keep Melanie and her family in prayer. She's in Alabama. Saying about her dad, who has stage 4 cancer and probably only has a week or two to live. And so they kind of went down to say their goodbyes, but then this morning they text me and called me. Jedediah, Micah's little one, has had 2 seizures this morning, and they don't know why. So she called me. She's dealing with that and then the emotions of her dad and what she's going through, and she just said it's a lot. So just cover them in prayer this morning, if you would. So let's close out. Father, we thank you. Because you are, as the songwriter says, you're a good, good father. You love us. You love us so much. You gave us your son. And not only your son, but you gave us life through your son. And we have power, not power to do what we want, but to do your will, to tell the truth about Jesus. Help us to know and know without a doubt the truth about Jesus, who he is, why he came, and what he's done for us, so that we can share with a world that desperately needs to know him. We'll be careful to praise and thank you in his name. Amen.
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 Amen. He is a good, good father. We will keep her family in prayer. Thank you, Sister Janice. Another great lesson. You know, we appreciate you, Pastor Janice. We appreciate you, and just have a beautiful day. And thanks, everybody, for participating.
Right.
Okay. All right. You know what to do. Get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, and crumpets. And after this song selection, we will start our morning worship service.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
praise him, praise him. Faithful goodness of God. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans all around this world. We thank you for your service. Happy Veterans Day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Deacon Charles Mackey. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
All right. I'm just, 1 second. My computer messed up on me. Good morning, all. Welcome to Run for Christ Ministries. We will be doing our scripture and prayer and our proclamation. One scripture comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. It's Jesus, the Good Shepherd.
Yeah, we'll do our proclamation first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, sorry about that. I got to get it pulled up here.
We want to wish all those veterans all around the world a happy Veterans Day. We appreciate you guys. And just thank you. Thank you for your service. Just grateful.
All right. Sorry for the delay. Okay. While we are here, proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
We proclaim that Jesus the King existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Okay. Once again, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than go through the gate will surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. True sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask your Holy Spirit, everyone who will take place in this worship service today, now and later. We thank you today for this opportunity, Father, to offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus up so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey, Father. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, fellowship. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Mackey, for your service this morning. Have a beautiful day.
You as well.
Thank you. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud.
Sing it out.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Sing it, Naomi.
Jireh, Jireh.
help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'll wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, help me to seek your face while I'm waiting. Steady your word be anxious for nothing. So I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you while I wait. Oh, wait. Help me to wait on. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'm waiting for you to see me through. Hiding your word, you know it's true. Stand still. Tell me to move. I'm going away until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, I'm hiding your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. Praising you, oh, while I wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, hide in your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. I'll wait until I hear from you. Somebody may need to wait for God to tell you what to do.
gonna wait until I hear from you, Pastor. Oh, you know, you always take us there, put us in the right moon perspective. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you, thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all our cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate, pray to the Lord. Amen.
For grace, for favor, yeah. the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.
Pray. Lord, we thank you for this awesome day. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to praise you and to worship you. We thank you for each and every one that's involved in this service today. We thank you for those who are listening all around the world. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for comfort. We thank you for peace. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for listening to us. We thank you for going to bat for us as you're seated, Lord Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, the place of honor. To communicate to the Father that no matter what, we're redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. And for the Father as a judge to say not guilty time and time again, Lord, because we've fallen short constantly, but we're saved for us that are saved, Lord, so we can constantly come to ask for forgiveness and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Lord, whatever sins we've committed against you, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for those known and unknown. And Lord, that you will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you will help us to sin less than we did the day before, that you will help us to love more, to love ourselves and to love one another. And to love you. Lord, we pray that you will help us to study your word to show ourselves approved so that we can rightly divide your word and to share it and to live it. Lord, we thank you for the preached word today that your word will go forth the way you ordained it to, the way you designated this audience for that word. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us and keeping us and our loved ones and our brothers and sisters all around the world. We pray for peace right now. There's a lot of war, a lot of strife and conflict going on around the world, and we pray that your will ultimately be done and that we would be instruments in that will, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for constantly looking out for us and giving us the hookup. We thank you for salvation, Lord. If you do nothing else for us, you've done everything for us, Lord. We thank you for who you are and what you do. But help us to thank you in action and to love you in action by the way we live and have our being. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
No, you're not, that's illegal, no.
Be encouraged. Power in prayer. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Amen. All right. I am truly enjoying the service this morning, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to say again, Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans all around the world. We thank God for you, and we thank you for your service. And just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Let's receive Pastor Tate with open and warm heart. Amen.
Couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances filled my life with such regret. And every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die, yeah. Somebody tell me why. Lord, you gave me hope. My life was broken and torn. You wiped away the pain.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank you, Lord, for a brand new day. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, that is what we want to say. Thank you for a brand new day that hasn't been used by your people before. Thank you for the chance to come to you with thanksgiving and praise just for being who you are. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach your word to your people. And I just ask that you move me completely out of the way and have your way. Let no distractions come near, and let your word be preached the way you want it preached. Father, it is in your presence and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know, before I preach, I just want to say thank you to Pastor O for playing all the songs that he played. Because those songs that he played leads right on up to the sermon that I'm going to be preaching today. And this sermon is entitled Be Thankful Even When It's Uncomfortable. Be thankful even when it's uncomfortable. You know, 2 months ago, I preached a message called Stay Strong in the Lord When Your Back Is Against the Wall. You know, and the scriptures that the Lord gave me to use for today's message are 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says this: "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you through Christ Jesus." That's the first scripture he gave me. Then just this morning before Sunday school, the Lord put this scripture on my heart. Psalm chapter 106, verse 1. And it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. you know, God didn't have to be merciful to us. He could have left us where he found us. But he didn't. He decided to send his only son to become the ultimate sacrifice for a sinful world. Now, if that doesn't preach, I don't know what will. But the title of my message is Being Thankful Even When It's Uncomfortable. You know, we live in a world full of sin. But be thankful that we the church are free from sin. You know, being thankful is not only just saying thank you to God, but being thankful is also giving yourself the opportunity to praise God for what he has done for you. Because he didn't have to send his son to die on the cross for our sins. But he chose to. So when Thanksgiving comes around, we ought to be thanking God that we no longer are living in sin. We ought to be thanking God that we are free from sin. We ought to be thanking God that our sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus. Saints, it's time out for complaining about what we go through in this life. Because God doesn't answer complaints. He only moves by your faith, by your praise, and by your thanksgiving toward him. I want to say that again. God does not answer complaints. He only moves by your faith in him, by your praise for him, and by your thanksgiving toward him. See, if you're not thankful for what God has brought you through and for what God is taking you through right now, then you don't appreciate who God is, because God didn't have to send his son to come down. God didn't have to send his son down to die for a sinful world. God could have left us where we were when he found us. You know, Psalm 106, verse 1 says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." God is good, y'all. God is good. God is good even when we don't act right. God is good at all times. So we should always have an attitude of thanksgiving, because no matter what we go through, God is still good to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you through Christ Jesus. You know, in this life, trials are going to come our way. Even the trials that we don't like. But just because we don't like what we're going through doesn't mean we stop being thankful to God. Even when things get uncomfortable in our lives. Because believe it or not, when things get uncomfortable in our lives, God is trying to elevate our relationship with Him. God is trying to help us elevate our relationship in Him, for Him, and through Him. So instead of complaining about what we go through, instead of complaining about the things we go through in this life, we ought to be thankful. Because it's Thanksgiving time, y'all. It's November. It's time to show God how much we appreciate Him for what He has done for us in the past, for what He is doing for us now, and for what He will continue to do for us in the future. You know, Thanksgiving means more to me than food. Because 35 years ago now, when I was born weighing 2 pounds and 12 ounces. And after I was born, I had to stay in the same hospital that I was born in for 43 days. Not only did I have to stay in there for 43 days because I weighed 2 pounds, 12 ounces, but I had to stay in the hospital for 43 days after I was born because none of the doctors could figure out what type of medical condition I had. could not come home from the hospital that I was born in until 2 days before Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, yes, I love eating Thanksgiving food, but Thanksgiving means so much more to me than food, because I thank God that even though the doctor said I would live past 2 months old, I thank God that I'm able to live 35 years later preaching here on Blog Talk Radio. That would nothing but the hand of God covering me while I was in the hospital. That was nothing but the hand of God covering me and keeping me alive, even though the doctor said I wouldn't live past 2 months old. To be honest with you, God has been, even before I developed an intimate relationship with God, God has always been in my life since I was born, because 35 years ago, he proved the doctors wrong. So, yes, my life gets uncomfortable sometimes. Well, most of the time. But what am I saying to you? Yes, my life gets uncomfortable sometimes. But the reason why I praise God like I do is to show him how thankful and how appreciative I am to him for keeping me alive for 35 years. Because I was supposed to pass away at 2 months old. But the Lord said, no, I've got a special assignment for him to do. What am I saying to you? Life may get uncomfortable sometimes, but instead of complaining to God about what you're going through and why you're going through what you're going through, be thankful to God for what he is doing in your life, because your life is a testimony for somebody else to see, whether you know it or not. Your life is a testimony for somebody else to see, whether you know it or not. You know, it drives me completely crazy sometimes when I wake up in the morning with the mental capacity to physically take care of myself. But it really drives me crazy to know that I don't have the physical capacity to take care of myself. But I am so appreciative to God for putting me around people that help me get through, help me take care of myself. Because if he didn't put me around people who would help me physically take care of myself, I would have lost my mind. I literally would have. Psalm chapter 106, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Saints, no matter what sin you've committed, God has been merciful to us all in our lives in some, in all sorts of ways. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 17, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing." And it says, in verse 18, it says, "In all things, give thanks." Saints, even when you don't want to give thanks to God for what he is doing in your life, give it to him anyway, because he deserves it. He deserved thanks. He deserved praise and thanksgiving for 2023 years. So give thanks to God when everything, don't just give thanks to God when everything is going right in your life. Give thanks to God when things are going wrong in your life, because God is keeping you strong through this life while you're going through what you're going through in this life. I would tell you something. When on January 26, 2015, when my mother went home to be with the Lord, I laid in the bed and cried for 3 days. 3 days straight. But I am so thankful for the legacy that my mother left me to continue. Even though my mother wasn't a minister, even though my mother wasn't an ordained preacher, she was still a minister. And she would get up every Saturday morning at 4:30, she would get up every Saturday morning at 4:30 just to be at a food giveaway at 5:30 that Saturday morning. And I said, "Lord," and I said to myself, "Lord, why is she getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go to a food giveaway at 5:30 in the morning?" what my, I had no idea that the Lord was using her to impact people in our community by her bringing food to the house. I had no idea that she was a minister, even though my mother wasn't a licensed minister. Sometimes we forget how good God has been to us. When things don't go our way, the first thing we do is we start complaining. Saints, God wants us to be thankful no matter what comes our way. When my mother went home to be with the Lord, yes, I was upset. Yes, I was evil. But I had no idea that my mother was going to be a legacy leader even after she went on to heaven. She left me a legacy of helping people. Now, I'm unable to physically help people, but I am helping people by inspiring them with the Word of God. And I'm thankful that God allowed me to see how my mother was helping people. Saints, when Thanksgiving is nothing but gratitude toward God. Thanksgiving is nothing but appreciation toward God. Please, let's start being more appreciative to God for what He is doing in our lives. Because, honestly, God didn't have to do what He did for us when He sent His Son to die on the cross. God did not have to call us to be ministers or deacons or teachers. God could have let us continue to live in sin. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the fact that even though what you're going through may be uncomfortable, rejoice in the fact that God is using you to be an inspiration to somebody else. What am I saying to you? Be thankful even though things may get uncomfortable in your life sometimes. Stop being so, we have to stop being so against what God is doing in our lives. And God wants us to be more appreciative for what he is doing in our lives. And God, not only does God want us to be more appreciative of what he's doing in our lives, but God wants us to be appreciative for who he puts in our lives. We may not like the things that people do, but be appreciative of your circle of people that are in your life, because you may not know it, but that circle of people that's in your life may be the reason why you are doing what you're doing for God's kingdom. That circle of people that's in your life may be the reason why you're doing what you're doing for God's kingdom. So be thankful even when you are feeling uncomfortable about what you're going through, because the Bible says this in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. In Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, it says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It does not glorify God at all when we continue to complain about the things that God is doing in our life. It does not glorify God when God hears us complaining about the people that he has in our lives. God put us around the people that we are around for a reason. And that reason is to help somebody else learn how to be thankful even when things may be uncomfortable in their life. Genesis 50 and 20 says, what God meant for evil. No, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, all things, it says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Saints, we God put us here for a specific purpose. And we have to be thankful and more appreciative for what God is doing in our lives. Because it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it out until the day of Jesus Christ. Our assignments that we were given by God will last until we go home. So when you are feeling uncomfortable about what God is taking you through, remember this. Be thankful even though things will be uncomfortable in your life, because the only thing that God is trying to get us to understand is God is only trying to help us elevate our relationship in Him. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, what a privilege it was to preach your word. What an honest privilege it was to preach your word. Father, you gave me the word you gave me because you knew that it was Thanksgiving time. Father, Thanksgiving means so much more than just eating food. Thanksgiving is an appreciation from us to you for what you have done in our lives. You didn't have to do what you did, Father. But we thank you for doing what you have done in our lives. And Father, I pray that this word that you have given me to preach was a blessing to somebody else. Because honestly, Father, the word that you have given me to preach was a blessing to me personally. It is, in the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Anytime I feel down, I know I can depend on you to help me pull through.
Help me pull through
the situations in my life. Nobody said it would be easy to walk this way, to live this life today. But through it all, I can say that I
never found such love
from somebody who treats everybody like somebody.
Thank you.
For every good thing in my life, I'm grateful, I gotta say thank you.
heart was sinking, and I couldn't see my way out. But then you came and showed me the words to say, the prayers to pray. Give me strength to find my way.
Exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord. And your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their load. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger in every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. That, again, is Psalms 145. Lord have mercy. I am listening to Pastor Terrence Tate, and I am just on fire. Just what I just read a little bit of, well, Psalm 145 again. This talks about the God we serve. We're not just serving, you know, we're not down here playing church, okay? Some people are, we're not, okay? This tells of some of who God is, amen? He's merciful, compassionate, okay? He's forgiving, he's faithful, he keeps his promises. It's nobody we know on earth that can do anything like this. We know, like Pastor O always uses the example, if somebody tell me they're going to come and pick me up and take me to work, I'm waiting on them. If they don't show up, guess what? I can't trust them no more. It's not like that with God. We can trust him. Things are good. We can trust him when things are bad. We can look to God for everything. Pastor Terrence say, I just look, before I get to getting and get to keeping on, thank you, thank you, thank you. We all needed to be reminded of who God is and how God is. And he's like that always. God does not change. We're the ones who down here trying to figure it out. Some days we want to, some days we don't. God's not like that. God's not like that. He is awesome in every single way, and he deserves our praise and our worship all the time, no matter what, because just like you said, Pastor, the word tells us that in this life, Jesus told us, in this life, you're going to have some mess. It's going to be some things going on, but you don't got to worry about none of that because I overcame all of that. Amen. So we have truly been reminded today of who God is and who we serve. And we are so grateful when things are good, and we're even more grateful when things are bad, because we know that all things are going to work together for our good no matter what, because God is good and he's good all the time. He can't be anything or anybody other than who he is. And he is God no matter what. So we are just so thankful for the word that was brought to us today. The entire service has been amazing. The songs have been amazing. The altar call was amazing. The priest's word was amazing. And y'all already know the announcements are about to be amazing, okay? Because I feel like the Holy Spirit is always on his job, okay? You want to talk about somebody clocked in 24/7, 365, always on his job? That's the Holy Spirit, okay? He never misses a day. So when I'm listening to Pastor Terrence preach, I'm like, okay, I feel like he all in my announcements and in my devotional today. But you'll see when I get there. Amen. So happy Saturday, everybody. Amen. It is the second Saturday in the month of November. It is Veterans Day. So, again, we thank every single person who has served in any capacity in the military serving this country. We thank you so much for your service and your commitment and your dedication to what you have done for us, and we are free because of you. And so we just thank you for your service, and we pray that you all go out there and get free food. Look, you got restaurants, all types of free stuff y'all can get today. So just go places and be like, yo, I'm a veteran. I need a free steak. Yo, I'm a veteran. Yo, get your three meals in and your desserts, okay? Because they got free stuff all over the place. Take advantage of that because you all deserve it. Amen. So we, again, thank you. Happy Veterans Day. So just by way of a couple of announcements, tomorrow, which is Sunday, November 11th, and this announcement is only for tomorrow, we're bouncing back to have our worship service at River Rouge High School. I've been announcing for the last couple of weeks that our church building, even though we did go back last Sunday, already had a pre-existing engagement for tomorrow. So for tomorrow only, we're going back to River Rouge High School, 9 a.m. for Sunday school with Pastor Janice, and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in to service. And Pastor Janice Tate is bringing us the word tomorrow. So we get a double helping of Pastor Janice tomorrow. So we always love that. So come on out again tomorrow only, River Rouge High School, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 a.m. worship service. And then we're going back home for real, okay, on next Sunday, November the 19th. We'll be back at our church home. The address is 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse. Again, our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. Okay, so tomorrow, again, River Rouge High School, 9 a.m. the following Sunday and every Sunday thereafter, unless otherwise advised. We are back in our church building, again, 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Amen. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure to tune into that. If you can't tune in at the time that he's live, or if you want to watch him as he, you know, brings his word that he brings to us at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, you can go to his YouTube page. He does have a YouTube page, so he records everything. He videos everything. Sometimes for me, I like to watch and listen. So sometimes I can't always listen. A lot of times I can't listen, but I will go back to his YouTube channel, and there's tons and tons and tons of stuff on there that pertain to Training Day and the series that he's been teaching for a very long time now. So make sure to get into that. Amen. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., you know, we have our Bible classes here on Blog Talk Radio. You do need a textbook for the class, so if you plan on being in attendance, the books are available. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the Bible classes tab to purchase the book. Read the assignment before the class, and the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. This week, Rebecca Johnson is going to be teaching the lesson entitled David's Sin and Punishment, okay? So we already know David had a lot of things going on, so this is going to be really good. So just make sure to tune in on Wednesday at 6 p.m., amen? Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. So make sure to get in on the discussion about our children, my children, y'all's children, everybody's kids, okay? Make sure to tune in for that. Also, again, as a new announcement, I have been mentioning this for the last couple of weeks now. Beginning on Monday, November 27th, that's just a couple of weeks from now, at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, we will have our new Bible class that's entitled Biblical Giving, which is going to be taught from Pastor O's book entitled Biblical Giving, okay? So you do need a book for the class. We're not going to go through the entire book, as Pastor O said, but you are going to need the book. Pastor O has also sent out our study questions as it pertains to the lessons that we're going to be doing in the book. So he sent that out earlier this week, so please make sure to check your email for the discussion questions. If you need a book now, you will have to purchase the book. So, and Pastor, you can correct me on this. People can still go to our church website, rfcm.org, and be able to order the book, or they can go to your personal website, Pastor GMO, Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com, and make the purchase for the book. The opportunity or the window to get the free book has now closed. We have sealed it up. So if you want the book, you're going to have to purchase the book, and you should be able to go to either our church website or Pastor's website to get that, but Pastor is going to correct me on that just to make sure. Also, please remember, and all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. So, again, please check our church website, rfcm.org. Classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more, all available for free. I have a lot of clients that I talk to. They're looking for jobs, or they're asking about certain things. And we get resources, but unless – it's not often – but we get emails, and a lot of times they get deleted because unless I have a client that I'm talking to at that moment that's asking me for something that's come through, a lot of those resources get wasted. So I share the resources so that they can get put on the church website, and then I do refer my clients to our church website for them to get on there and get what they need. So there's a lot of information on our church website, just to make sure to share it, even if you don't know what maybe someone specifically needs. When you listen to them, if they say something is up or whatever, just send them over to our church website and let them look and see, because you just never know. They might see some things on there that are valuable to them that they can use for themselves, or that they can even take that information and share it with someone else. And so you just want to make sure that you're not keeping that info to yourself. Make sure you are sharing our church website with others. Amen. If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit the church website again, rfcm.org, and click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering to Pastor Terrence Tate, who brought the message today, amen, just go to the church website, rfcm.org, click on the tithes and offerings tab, and then just make sure to specify that your love offering belongs to Pastor Terrence Tate, and we will make sure that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Jesus is equal opportunity Jesus to everybody. Amen. So eternal life. Everything that we're doing here on earth is preparation. Pastor O reminds me of that. A lot in our conversations, that what you got going on in this life, that's just preparing you for eternity. And so, yes, we are in these physical bodies, and we be like, Jesus, sometimes all we can see is the little box that we're in. Sometimes it's hard to step back from everything. It seems like everything is in your, in your face all the time. Everything is in your face. And sometimes you have to make it your business to take a step back. And like Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon taught us a couple of weeks ago, you have to find your quiet space to go and be in solitude and in isolation with the Lord. Okay, you have to take that and take a step back, because the world is moving at 1,000 miles a minute. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but it seems like you wake up one day, it's January 1st, and you wake up the next day, and it's the end of the year. Like, time is literally moving that fast, but it's kind of doing that because it's almost time for us to go. Like, Jesus can come back at any moment, and it's like somebody's, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but the clock is moving fast. And so, like Pastor Jonathan Tate always reminds us, that time ain't long. We don't have a lot of time. And so we do have to take a step back from the hustle and bustle of everything that's going on around us every single day, 24/7, and take that time to be in solitude and in solace and in silence with the Lord. Amen. And so everything we're doing here now is preparation for what's to come. Okay? So eternal life is what's to come, because when Jesus comes back, the world as we know it, it's a wrap. Okay? You either in him or you not. Excuse me. Okay? You either... It's no do-overs, okay? So eternal life is eternal, okay? It's a really long time. And you got one or two places to go and spend it, okay? So eternal life in heaven, which is the goal. If you're in Christ, your seat is saved. It's a done deal, okay? But eternal life in heaven, hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I literally just read that. There is no relationship with the Father without the Son. And there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, your guide, your companion, okay, the person who's with you, guiding you and telling you what to do, without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus did the hard work. Like, he came here, did his time, and left, okay? But the Holy Spirit is who we have in each and every one of us. We're little baby Jesus walking around here, because the Holy Spirit is in all of us who accept him. Amen? So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Your power, the only power that you have to use the word of God against the enemy, because that's the only thing he responds to is the word of God, is the Holy Spirit that you have in you. That's like Pastor L said, you got a gun and you got no bullets. So you pop, pop, pop. And Satan is like, okay, do she know she don't have no bullets? Do he know he can't? Yeah, the word of God is what we got to pop a cap and Satan with, because that's what he responds to. But you have zero power if you have zero Holy Spirit, okay? So So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, your people under your roof and the people who you let come under your roof and things like that, okay? Judea, which is your community, the people and places where you go to, your grocery store, your banks, your schools, your whatever. Samaria, outside your comfort zone, to people and places where you maybe wouldn't normally associate with or go to. And to the ends of the earth. These are people and places you are like, nope, not them, today, tomorrow, this life, or the next, okay? You're not messing with them. But they need the word of God, okay? And it's our job as people, as children of God, the body of Christ, to get the word and get the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone so that no souls are left behind. We don't have any excuse. We have Blog Talk Radio. People who have the internet, which is everybody at this point, usually if you got a phone, you have the internet. Okay, so Blog Talk Radio is getting in all those nooks and crannies where we physically can't go. The word of God is getting everywhere. Everywhere. Pastor O has called off places where you wouldn't even think a Christian would be found. But they got Blog Talk Radio, and they've tapped in to what we got going on here at Run for Christ Ministries, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away. We will never fully know until we get to heaven how essential and how meaningful Blog Talk Radio has been to people. We don't know who we're reaching, but God knows. And that's why what we do here on Blog Talk Radio is so important. Okay, so we have to make sure that we get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to everyone so that no souls are left behind. Now, we're just people. Sometimes you got to plant the seed. Sometimes it's your responsibility to come through and water it. But God got everything else. So you do what he asks you to do, and you keep it moving. Okay? Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay? So hell's not for people. But people standing in line trying to get VIP tickets to hell. Okay, it's not a game. Hell is not a game. Okay, and we know that some people will unfortunately end up in hell for an eternity. Okay, this life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. We feel like we get, you know, 80, 90, 100 years on this life. Ooh, somebody lived along to God. We've been gone two blinks. Okay, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So the time that we have on this earth, we're supposed to be gaining our knowledge and wisdom from the Lord and the Word, and then putting that out there to people so that we're doing the right things, applying our hearts to wisdom. Okay, it's not good to be not smart. Okay, I won't say stupid, but not smart. Okay, so you don't want to go through this whole life not having done anything you were supposed to do. And like Pastor O said, you're standing before the Lord like, you know, because your check that you get in heaven is going to reflect everything you did here on earth. That's why everything here is preparing us for something else, preparing us for eternity, okay? So John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, and we know that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. So we know that Jesus came and did what he did, and when he went away, he said he was going away to prepare a place for us. That means when we're done here and our time is up, if you are in him, you're going back to be with him, okay? Because he said he is going to take us back to be with him where he is, amen? And so this earth and everything in it is passing away. But just be hopeful and be happy and be excited about the fact that when it's all said and done here, we will be with Jesus in heaven for eternity. And again, eternity is a very, very, very long time, amen? Amen. So we do ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Mary Tate and her sister, Doris Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, who had surgery a couple Fridays ago, but we heard her last Saturday. So praise God. Pray for Mother Marilyn and pray for Mother Cheryl and pray for Mother Persia. Also, when it comes to Doris Gaither, please make sure to pray for Nakia as well. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks and Nico Gaston. Continue to pray for Melanie and her father. And pray for baby Jedediah and his mom, Micah. He had a seizure, and so he's only two. He just turned two. And he is a little spitfire. He is so sweet. I think Deacon Eric gave him the nickname Rufus because he just – so just pray for baby Jedediah. Pray for his mom, Micah. Melanie is Micah's mom. She's got, you know, taking care of her dad. So there's just a lot going on there. So please keep that entire family lifted up in prayer, as well as Darius Freeman and his mom, Keela, Ed and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all those who are caregivers, nurses, and doctors who serve in the medical field, those who are in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and hospice care. Again, please don't forget to pray for our students, staff, teachers, administrators, all the way from daycare to college level, amen. Continue to pray for all of our leaders in our communities, all the way from your mayor or your sheriff or whoever, whatever, in your community, all the way up to Washington, D.C., president, vice president. Pray for those who have the rule over you, amen. Continue to pray for your pastors and your pastors and your shepherds and those who are leading you to Christ, and so you're following them as they're following Christ. If they're not following Christ, I'm going to need you to get off at the next stop, amen, and go somewhere where people are following Christ and following the word of the Lord, because you don't want anyone to lead you astray, okay? You have the opportunity. Pastor Terrence was talking about it today. We are free in this country to serve the Lord, and we have the ability to get our Bible and read it for ourselves. We do not have to wait for somebody to pour us out a couple scriptures on a plate. That's all we eat, and we take it for what it is, and we keep it moving. No, we have the responsibility to read our word, to be in relationship with Christ, and to follow those who are following in the right way of the Lord. So again, if you're following somebody who's not following Christ like they should be, I need you to get off at the next stop, and I need you to get on somewhere else and go in the right direction. Amen. We also want you to please continue to pray for all those who are mourning and grieving the loss of friends and loved ones. As a bereavement announcement, of course, could please continue to pray for my son, Amir, and the loss of his grandmother. The funeral is going on as I speak. And also continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton and her family in the loss of her niece. Please make sure to really keep her mother lifted up in prayer, because that niece was very close with her mother. And so her mom is really having a hard time. So just continue to pray for that entire family as well. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners who celebrated this past week. Or if you're celebrating today, my favorite day of the week, Saturday. Amen. So happy birthday to London, who celebrated her birthday on the 3rd. Tamika, who celebrated her birthday on the 6th. Destiny, who celebrates her birthday on the 21st. And my Reese Boo, she celebrates her birthday on the 29th, but don't tell anybody that I told you her birthday is on the 29th, because she literally doesn't want anybody to know that her birthday is on the 29th. So don't tell her I told you. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today. And it is entitled Your To-Do List. Your To-Do List. Amen. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Again, you guys know I love his devotionals. And so it reads as follows. Pastor Terrence Tate was all in my devotional too. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Now, you guys hear that from me all the time. Pastor Terrence Tate was talking about it today. I said, Jesus, he going to do my announcement too? Amen. So it says, my wonderful wife, Debbie, loves to make to-do lists. It gives her great satisfaction to mark items off her list and see the progress she has made during the day. Sometimes she will add a completed item to her list just to experience the thrill of making through it. Can you relate? In the Christian life, God has a type of to-do list for us. It is not something to complete before noon, however. It is something to do all day long. It is given to us as a threefold list in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So number one is rejoice always. No matter what is going on in your life, the right response is to rejoice in the Lord. Life may not always be good, but God is always good and worthy of our praise. I said, Pastor Terrence, hey, you all in my space. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Number two, pray without ceasing. Now, is this even possible? How can we get anything done if we are praying every waking moment? The key here is to start your day off calling upon the Lord and never hang up the phone. Keep yourself connected with him at all times. Always have your line of communication open to him so that you can bring every aspect of your day before his throne of grace. Number three, in everything, give thanks. What's that, Pastor Terrence Tate? All in my space. This means when things are good, we thank him. And when things are bad, we praise him. And when things are the absolute worst, we worship and praise him as Job did when he learned of the death of his 10 children. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. So you see, thanksgiving is an expression of our faith. Thanksgiving tells God, you know, he is over every circumstance, and believe he will work all things together for your good and his glory. I said, Pastor Terrence Tate, all in my stuff. So let me encourage you to write these three critical items on your daily to-do list and never mark them off. As you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and always give thanks in all things, you will see God work in and through your life like never before. James calls this being a doer of the word. So try it and see. Trust me, you won't be sorry. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements. That was a full-blown sermon. I will be signing my pastoral life tomorrow.
All right,
amen.
Then.
Amen.
Like you did at the beginning. You think I ain't hear that, huh? You thought I missed that, right?
I know. I know you.
You know I heard. So
I
now
you
done messed up my weekend. Now everybody gonna say hi, and I'm gonna be like,
Oh Lord. Help, Jesus, help.
Ooh, amen.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go to PastorGMO.com and get your book for the class.
Okay.
The free books have, you know, people had like a whole month to sign up for a free book, and those who did got their book. And so those of you who still want to attend the class, but we're setting this class up so that whether you have the book or not, you will be able to keep up. But it works so much better with the book, because we're going to do a lot of discussion. Big grown-up class, and go ahead and warn you about chapter 2. Now, the questions, the review questions, are on our church website. Just click on Bible Classes, Biblical Giving. They're on there, and they're also on my website, PastorGMO.com. So you can go and get all four. I will have questions tomorrow at church that I'll pass out for chapter 1. Okay, and each chapter I'll do the same thing. But if you want to get started now, go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Bible Classes, click on Biblical Giving, and you got it. Okay, that's that. Thank you,
Amen.
Crystal.
You're
Amen.
Welcome.
See, I don't even
Amen.
Have to go to church tomorrow. I did my thing.
Wait a minute.
Jesus
to wanted
to say,
no.
Jesus is like, yeah, well, you kind of like the pastor, so there's that.
Yeah. You got to be there.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Love you. Tell
You're
me
welcome.
I said what's up.
Love you, too. Okay, I sure will.
Hey, man, we thank God for each and every one of you who tune in every single Saturday. Want to really thank Pastor Terrence Tate for that on-time message, because, look, we're not really going through it. The world is going through it, but we're going through it with the world, but we're going through with Jesus. They're going through with somebody, but we're going through with Jesus. So we're covered. We're protected. We have a guardian angel that don't take no shorts. You come around messing around and you don't have permission to be around, guess what? You're going to be like the devil when he ran into that hedge trying to get at Job. You better listen. Amen. You got an angel. So don't even worry. You know, I get, Jesus, help me. I get on Facebook sometimes and I see people always talking about they hate us. Jesus told us to pray for those who despitefully use you and speak all kind of manner of evil against you falsely. Now, if they're telling the truth on you, you shouldn't be complaining. They're trying to help you. But if it's false, Amen. That's Satan working against you to hurt your witness that Pastor Tate talked about in class. You got a witness. You got a Jesus to glorify. Amen. So forget about the haters. Amen. Pray for them. Jesus said, pray for them. Why? Because they're actually coming up against him. Because he got you doing what you're doing, and they're trying to stop it. They're trying to mess it up. They're trying to speak evil on it. Throw some shade. Jesus will bust that sunlight right through the shade. Amen. Amen. So thank God for Pastor Terrence Tate and that on-time word, because we need comfort today. We need to know that God knows we're going through it. But that's us, brothers and sisters. We go through. We don't get stopped. We go through. You got that, right? Be blessed. Amen. Want to thank God for Pastor Janice Tate and her awesome teaching. Amen. Want to thank God for Deacon Kathy Clyburn, who pulled together Deacon Mackey, pulled together Brother Preacher Jonathan Tate, and everybody else. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We are all the way out of time. See you when we see you. Bye-bye.